Well, here is some exciting news. If you want to go to playoff baseball here in St. Louis, you can. You can, or in the St. Louis area.
We can?
You can. And where? To tell us how, Kurt Rienkamp, general manager of the Gateway Grizzlies, in studio, the Gateway Grizzlies of the Frontier League. We'll just kick it off. The playoffs start on Wednesday for you guys.
Yeah, we clinched last weekend, so we got a wild card spot. I'm not sure who we're playing yet, but officially now we know after last night's results, we'll be playing Wednesday at home. It's a 3-game series, so this will be the only home game we have for that first round. So we're doing $5 tickets for everywhere in the ballpark. You know, we want the place packed. We want fans here to encourage the players. You know, they get excited when it's a good mm-hmm. crowd and they're cheering them on. So it can be tough when there's not a lot of time to sell these tickets when you don't know the date. So it's hopefully if people haven't been out to a game yet, they can watch some playoff baseball. Like you said, the only playoff baseball maybe this year.
So I know.
It'll be exciting.
I think we can say that affirmatively. This will be the only playoff baseball.
Someone in sports, I always wait until you're eliminated. But yeah, I know.
Right. It's okay. We're prepared for it, but it is really fun. I think it's great, like you said, to get a good crowd. And again, we jumped right into the playoffs. Thank you for joining us in the studio. We do have Jen watching on YouTube, and she says, go Grizzlies.
Okay,
so
yes,
she's
great,
ready
yeah.
for it. She's ready for the playoffs. So, Kurt, as you mentioned, $5 tickets?
$5 tickets, yep. $5 tickets for anywhere in the ballpark. We want the place packed, and there's plenty of great seats. So you can go to GatewayGrizzlies.com right now and get your tickets. We also have a bundle, too, where you can get playoff shirts and stuff like that, too. So.
$5? You can't do anything for $5 anymore. That's
know,
that's the greatest deal
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah,
it cost me that much in gas to get there. That's the cheapest ticket out there. It's family friendly. Yeah. Lots of affordable food, things for kids to do at the game as well.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff. So I mean, this is the last weekend of the regular season starting tonight. We're actually at home, so we have tonight's Military Appreciation Night that's mm-hmm. presented by Uncommon. So anyone that's active military, retired, anything, it's free tickets for them. Then $5 tickets for any family members as well. So, and then we're wearing special military jerseys that we'll auction off at the end of the game. And we got fireworks tonight too. So it's, and then Sunday's our big one. It's called the Greatest Night in Baseball. That's presented by Dutch Hollow Supplies. It's my favorite game of the year. It's always a packed house. So we give out 27 prizes for 27 outs. So when everybody comes in, we'll give you a free raffle ticket. After each out, we'll give out a prize. It could be, we got concert tickets, Cardinal tickets, Blues tickets, NASCAR tickets for that race coming up. We got gift cards, $250 gift card for Cavenders, a bunch of memorabilia, signed stuff from professional sports, and a bunch of Grizzly swag, and some surprises too. So,
and this is the game, and I'll let you explain, but the greatest night in baseball game, is that the night you bring your toilet paper?
It is, yes.
Everybody bring
TP the ballpark, yeah. So we'll actually, Dutch Owl, they supply, I think it was like 2,500 rolls, so we'll give out those at the front gate as well. But we encourage fans to bring as many as you want. You'll see people with like 6 or 7 bags of toilet paper, and they'll bring them in. We'll sell some too after the 6th inning that we donate to Cardinal Glennon, so some extra stuff there, that's always fun. But yeah, once that last out hits, everyone just lets them fly. They go on the field, goes on the nets, and then the players, they come out of the dugouts. They'll throw them back into the crowd and stuff like that. It's wild.
Are you on the cleanup crew then?
I am. We actually, Webster University, they play their baseball games at our stadium, so we actually recruit their team to come help out that night. So they're kind of the full cleaning crew. But yeah, we get everybody to help clean. And as long as there's no rain in the forecast, we can get it up pretty fast.
Yeah.
One year it rained a little bit and try getting wet toilet paper.
Who knows when you need that toilet paper? Remember in COVID when we were fighting and wrestling each other in grocery stores for it?
Well,
I might have to show up and get me a pallet of that stuff.
Now there's no rabbits.
There's a lot, and we just throw it away. But
so how long have you guys been doing the toilet paper night, the TPing of the baseball field?
Yeah, I would say, this is, I'm wearing a shirt that says 25th year, so it's this is our 25th season. I started in 2013, and I know it was already a staple then, so I don't know the official first year, but I mean, it's got to be over at least 20 years by now.
Because I was wondering, how sometimes there's a great idea and then people find a way to ruin it? Like, they had Dollar Dog Night at one of the major league ballparks and everybody was throwing hot dogs on the field.
I saw that.
So
yeah.
I didn't know if you've ever done a fan involved, it's not a stunt, but what would you call it? A fan involved
just promotion
that has gone wrong.
Like burning the The disco album.
Yeah, that's funny you say that because the Slammers, they did the hot dog drop from a helicopter this year when we were up there. So they dropped like, you know, they'll try to do the world record. Working in independent baseball, you know, we're always trying to, you know, think of some wild things that could work. Some don't work. Some are great. You know, you just got to kind of, you know, see what's going to work and, you know, put in the effort.
Slammers is kind of a lame name, isn't it? I mean, Grizzlies, at least you got like some heft to it. You got that mascot. Oh, it's a Slammers mascot.
Well, that's because the prison was up there in Joliet.
Is that what it is?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, Michael.
They're the Joliet Slammers. It's cool. The logo's pretty cool. They're wearing like a bird. He's got like a jail cap hat on and stuff like that.
Are their suits orange?
They do have orange in their logo, though. So, yeah.
That's pretty good. The company Gray Bar.
I like
Bar,
the Grizzlies better. Yeah. Gray
they
Bar?
They could sponsor them. They should have the...
Gray Bar
Stadium.
Yeah.
At any rate, that is really cool. And I will say, my mind went here because, of course, the Savannah Bananas just absolutely killed it. Sold out Busch Stadium. A lot of people who wanted to go didn't get a chance to go. And this is, I mean, what an opportunity. I mean, this is, it has so many similar elements.
Yeah, it's funny that you actually bring up the banana. So it's... You know, everybody knows them now. I would say at least once a week for the last 5 years, someone has came up to me asking me if I know who the Bananas are, if the Grizzlies can play them, if we can do a lot of the stuff that they do in the games. And, you know, I'm always like, well, we're a professional league.
Right.
You know, we can't have a guy batting with stilts on. Stuff like that. So after maybe the 100th time, I was finally like, you know what, let's just give the people what they want. So we created a Spooky Ball is what we call it. So it's our version of the Savannah Bananas.
Nice.
Kind of wanted to do something with the Halloween, and so we do, there's trick-or-treating before the game, there's a home run derby before the game, we do costume contests too, and then during the game it's wild stuff, so like the teams, they'll do dance-offs in between innings for extra runs, we'll do like random karaoke, mascots will play in the game, we integrate every sport, so football, soccer, you know, hockey, we had a goalie out there in full pads last year. So it was, it's a lot of fun too. So it's, you know, we didn't want to just mimic the Bananas. We want to do our own thing. And it's, that's presented by CEFCU. That's coming up on October 18th. And it's going to be, you know, last year was our first year doing it. So we got a lot of new fun ideas for this year. It's going to be a good time.
What a great idea. And because like you said, that's kind of leaning into the Savannah Bananas type ball, which people have compared to the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't know if that's fair or not, but want to make clear, I think what's so cool about the greatest night in baseball, you're watching real competitive professional baseball. I mean, these are real playoffs. And again, the Bananas, obviously insanely talented, but this is a totally different ball game. No pun intended. This is a totally different ball game. This is a real league. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds in that you can have some fun, have a little more access and interaction with the players, but it's real baseball and real playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny too because it's like baseball for, you know, especially for that night. It's kind of just like the appetizer, you know, because there's so much other stuff going on. You know, we'll have bounce houses. We got face painting for that night. We got a balloon artist that's coming. I think there's a band. We got a band playing before the game, and then we have, you know, the biggest fireworks show of the season after that toilet paper. So
that's dangerous.
We got to get that kind of cleaned up first, and then. And the players are actually wearing, it's another themed jersey. We do a fan design contest. So I think it was a 9-year-old. She won the contest. So we're wearing jerseys that she designed.
That's cool.
We actually have a bowl coming too this year as well. He's going to kind of throw out the first pitch. And
say
so,
what?
Yeah. So
an actual animal?
A real bowl's coming. Yeah. So it's, we're hosting Bulls. The TK Pro Rodeo in October 3rd and 4th. So, you know, we wanted to kind of promote that a little bit at this game and, you know, give fans something to see and stuff, so he'll be there, and it's he'll be out on the field.
Wasn't Brewster's Millions team the Bulls with Richard Pryor?
I think they were. Remember, they had the train that went through the outfield.
I don't know.
Throwing out a baseball. That is worth $5 right there. I want to see it.
You should bring that bull that they rescued in St. Charles. Remember the bull that got loose?
Oh, was there one like walking around the road?
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't know.
Could you imagine seeing a bull and throwing a baseball on top of it all?
He'll be out there, and then we're moving him to the kid zone. We have a separate area then.
Then we're going to eat him?
He'll be there for pictures.
Oh, cool.
That'll be fun too. So
that's really fun. Okay, Going back to the spooky ball, which is, it's like banana ball. This is the Grizzlies playing spooky ball.
It's not the Grizzlies. You know, we went the Grizzlies, you know, the professional league.
Okay,
so
okay.
We didn't want to kind of go down that route. So we actually partner with a Lewis and Clark baseball team.
Nice.
Their head coach is one of our bench coaches. So they come out. We do practices for, you know, leading up to the game. They have a lot of fun with it. You know, they're college kids. I mean, mm-hmm. and they're baseball players. So it's still good baseball too.
Right.
So it's and you know we donate money to their baseball program to have them help us out and stuff like that. So it's it's still entertaining and stuff like that. It's still baseball. So
awesome. Okay, so we give the people a lot of information. The big thing you need to know: Grizzlies playoffs start Wednesday in just a few days, September 3rd. But before that, you're going to have the greatest night in baseball on August 31st. As you mentioned, tons of prizes, 27 prizes for 27 outs, plus, you know, all these other giveaways. And of course, you can bring your own toilet paper. You can buy toilet paper. Then later on in October, they have the TK Pro Rodeo, Bulls in the Ballpark. Later in October, the Spooky Ball. So a lot to look forward to with Gateway Grizzlies. You go to gatewaygrizzlies.com. All the information, all the tickets.
Yep, everything's on there. TK Pro Rodeo, October 3rd and 4th. It's the 3rd is the Bulls in the Ballpark. It's actually the World Tour Championships for bull riding. So you're going to have like the top 30 riders in the country competing for a big money payout in the title. So it's... You know, I know there's a lot of local rodeos and some communities and stuff like that, but this is some real good talent. It's going to be very entertaining. And then that Saturday, October 4th, is just, you know, the traditional full rodeo with steer wrestling, you know, barrel racing. We still have bull riding and stuff as well. TK Pro Rodeo, that's presented by Ray LaFour Truck Service. So we transform the whole field. We bring in 2 million pounds of dirt. It's we got seats right on the field that are still available. It's a wild time, too, there at the rodeo seeing that. So it's, like I said, gatewaygrizzlies.com. Tickets are on sale now.
Kurt Ringkamp, general manager of the Gateway Grizzlies. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to chat with you. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
You know, I know you'd ask about non-stinky weed. There are vaporizers that smell like strawberry and watermelon and blue gelato. So, you know, the ones who are doing it and then smelling like weed, that's a choice for them. So, just wanted to let you know. Happy Friday!
You know what? That was the kind of detail that you don't get.
Whoa.
Unless you've had personal experience.
What do you think the smell of blue gelato is like?
Blue is always raspberry for some reason, right?
Right, or blueberry.
I don't think it's ever blueberry. Everything's always blue raspberry.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. There must be hard to make some synthetic taste of a blueberry.
Well, yeah, and also I think there's too many reds because there's like cherry and strawberry. So if you throw in raspberry and watermelon's pink, maybe they just needed a different color.
Right. So there's an ice cream shop here in town. I don't know if they advertise with us, so I won't use their names.
Oh.
But they've got this thing called watermelon taffy, Amy. And it's like a watermelon ice cream. It's so delicious.
Is it because it, at first...
Watermelon taffy.
Okay.
So that's kind of what the taste is.
I need to try it.
I need to try it
because it. I can't tell. Have you ever had bubblegum soda?
No, but I've had bubblegum ice cream.
Which is a little weird, right?
It's very weird.
Is this as weird as that?
No.
Okay.
This is far better because it's the watermelon taste. And I don't think you could have put just the watermelon taste in by itself.
Yeah.
I think you needed something else to give it a little chewiness. And I know I don't even mean like real chewing, but
right.
Gives it a little substance, but I'm a real fan of it. And they only sell it in their stores. You can't get it in the grocery store. So I'm known to be there occasionally picking it up.
Really?
Yeah, I can pick you up a pint or three if you'd like.
Okay. I need to write down the offers because you have offered watermelon, taffy ice cream, and a U2 concert.
Well, that's because you said I don't even know what U2 sings.
No, I said... Are they still touring?
Yeah, I don't know. Are the Rolling Stones? Is Paul McCartney? Yes. Is U2? They just did a month at the Sphere.
So where are they now if they're done?
Well, I mean, they're taking a break. They're writing some more music, and then they're going to go out again. And when they go out again, if we're lucky enough to have them come here in St. Louis, because you know the big concerts have been passing us by lately.
I know.
Another sign of things not going well.
Then the dome situation, with the dome being short on cash for the necessary improvements.
Where are you
not
at on
great.
That? What do you think they ought to do? Tear it down? Oh, what, it's just a giant old building. What, are we going to store the Hindenburg in it?
Well, that's a great point. So I guess I feel with the dome, it's really sad because it's starting to feel just like a shell of better times. But if we can lean into fixing up the dome and fixing up downtown and somehow pursuing the reality of Indianapolis, I think that's the right move. Once you tear down the dome, I can't tell if that is tearing down the dome for something better or tearing down the dome and the admission that nobody wants to come here and we don't want to support these types of structures. But we're not going to be Nashville ever. We don't have the music scene. We're not Nash Vegas. We can't compete with sexier towns. What we could compete with, if we could get our act together, is Indianapolis, that's leaned into sports, conventions, and the NCAA, which, of course, I know is a big deal, having the NCAA
Well,
and
the NCAA requires some of those big stadiums, yeah. But let's be frank, this dome is 40 years past its life. Yeah. If you've been to any of these stadiums, they're being built around the country. Heck, what's Atlanta on? They're on their second ballpark since we've built the new Cardinal ballpark.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay,
and so I mean, all these stadiums are really investing that kind of money. It would be awesome to have a world-class football-type facility in St. Louis, but you're looking at, what, $2 billion?
And I know there were a lot of people against, maybe it was the TIFs and so forth, the tax breaks for fixing up Enterprise Center.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so glad we did, because there were NCAA tournaments that would not have come here. There are other major events and Olympic trials that we would not have gotten. And I'm grateful that at least some of those improvements were made and were done when the Blues won the Cup, because it really put on display how great Enterprise is. And so maybe it's worth it, but you know, where do you get the funding? So, do you have to have a private group jump in?
So here's what I will tell you. Okay. A friend of mine has this expression, I don't like to talk. I was worked on that effort to get the money for the center over here, the Enterprise Center.
Yeah.
It was vital that it got done, and it faced huge resistance. Even on this radio station, people calling in, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Politicians, maybe even the mayor herself, filed lawsuits and tried to oppose this. And I would argue to you that it's probably the single largest economic driver right now in downtown St. Louis, with the Cardinals and the state they're in.
And it would not be hard to throw some numbers down on a chart and show just how much Enterprise benefits St. Louis. I mean, we're hanging on to it. We talk about hanging on to the Cardinals, and what would the city be without the Cardinals? They're such a big part, not only of our selfhood, our identity as a city, but also an economic driver. The Blues and Enterprise.
The concerts, baby.
Oh, the concerts.
Ice, dancing on ice
the
and
gymnastics.
Little kid stuff.
Yes, and the gymnastics Olympic trials. And I think we're getting some March Madness basketball. I believe we're getting some March Madness basketball.
I think we're getting that. I think we've gotten wrestling. I think we're getting ice skating.
Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that wouldn't have come to St. Louis. Also, when you get concerts, and this is so important, when you get these concerts, when you get these events, they help prevent your city from sliding into obscurity. And when St. Louis lost the Rams, that's perhaps the most loss of elevation that you're going to get in a single swoop, is losing an NFL team. And you don't want to become irrelevant.
No, and what is frustrating to me, Amy, and we've even watched this now in the Kansas City fight, well, if they want a new stadium, they can pay for it themselves. All fine and well, great rhetoric. It isn't true, because everybody is lining up, even in the world's largest cities, to build these Taj Mahals for these folks. Baseball is our identity. I have no problem with us investing in the facilities of the Cardinals. I don't like the rules of the game. I don't like that we got to that place. But if they're financing stadiums in New York and Atlanta, guess what you're going to have to do in St. Louis? Finance that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's what gives us the intangibles that still makes us feel somewhat relevant. I mean, I like the fact that the big artists that aren't doing the stadiums, unfortunately, we don't have those that come here anymore, but that they come here and you have a chance to go see everybody from the rappers to the heavy metalers to the Disney on Ice.
Yeah. No, yeah. When
How
you
about
have
that commercial for Enterprise.
That was a great commercial. I think before the renovations were done, that was when Coldplay skipped over St. Louis to play at the Sprint Center.
Hello.
Is that the Sprint Center in
Kansas
City?
It's like a quarter the size of the Enterprise Stadium.
Yeah. And so it wasn't even like Coldplay left us to go to Arrowhead. No. It was Coldplay went to Sprint. And then also, we want Taylor Swift to come to St. Louis.
She ain't coming. We don't have a big enough venue. Maybe the baseball stadium, if she does baseball stadiums.
Or if they fixed up the dome and made it great.
Fixed it up. Well, you got $2 billion laying around?
Well,
because it'd be better to build a new one. It'd probably be cheaper to build a new one.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
With a better sound system, that thing is not good for concerts.
No. We got so many problems. We need an airport that people can get here. So maybe we ought to focus on that first.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. Man, we've got more conversation. Matt Pajeski, our producer, has a question about sporting event etiquettes because he's got a lot of problems with you people.
And now you're going to hear about it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
That's Matt Pajeski, our producer of this show, who, by the way, does a ton of work and keeps us in line. We couldn't exist without Matt.
I agree with you. And he plays fabulous music. The problem that I have when Matt is with us, because normally our producer doesn't mix in any music or anything that's kind of along the lines of what we're up to.
Yeah.
When you pull out that song right there from the Billy Joel, I just want to sit and sing it. Yeah. I don't want to talk. I want to sing it to Amy.
Maybe that's why your producer doesn't play it.
I didn't know about that song until you told me about it.
Yeah, it's about depression. Manic depression. These are not the best of times, but they're the only times I've ever known.
That's a good lyric.
It is an incredible lyric. Billy Joel's a special man.
Yeah. I've seen Billy Joel.
You probably wouldn't go because you wouldn't know what songs he's going to play.
No, I know. I love Billy Joel. I got Billy Joel tickets for my birthday. Thank you very much.
Did you?
I've seen Billy Joel twice now at Busch Stadium.
Well done.
Thank you.
Amy and I just had a conversation about Paul McCartney, and I said, you know, that's a guy you want to go travel to see. And she goes, well, it depends on what he's going to play. What do you think he'd play? I'm like, it's Paul McCartney.
Cover
he
songs.
Could play Mary Has a Little Lamb.
I did.
Who cares?
I go, is he going to play that song, Everybody's Going to Dance Tonight?
Everybody
and Michael
gonna
looked
dance
at me
tonight.
Like I had two heads.
Yeah.
I don't care if he plays Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's Paul McCartney.
Now, he does have a song that he does with Kanye West that I guess would probably be off his list now, but it's great. I'm 45 seconds to wild. I'm 45 seconds from wildin'. You know what I'm talking about?
Song. I do.
Rihanna. And
I didn't know Paul McCartney was in that song.
He's playing the guitar. He wrote it.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought it was. I knew Rihanna was on that.
Paul McCartney is like, I don't know. I guess the biggest stars to die in my lifetime, pop stars, would be Michael Jackson. I don't remember Elvis. Princess Diana. Paul McCartney. Like,
yeah.
He's even bigger than that to me because I feel like he's like a living Bach. Or Beethoven.
Yeah.
Like, Paul McCartney going to be talked about 1,000 years from now. Like, Beethoven is talked about.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Beatles were a phenomenon and changed the trajectory of
Did you
music.
And Brad Young rip on them yesterday?
No,
or just Bruce Springsteen?
I'm a huge Beatles super fan. Do you remember the store in Union Station called Beatles for
yes,
Sale?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I would
posters.
Go there all the time.
Yeah.
I had a Beatles t-shirt.
Yes.
I remember when the
you
Beatles...
You got rid of it?
Well, I think I was like 11, so...
Yeah, it probably would still fit you.
It might. But the Beatles for Sale... Excuse me. The Beatles anthology also came out when I was maybe like 11, 10, 11. And we watched it when it was released in parts on television.
A, Beatles, C.
It was so good. It was so good. All right. Before we forget...
talking about that.
Completely. Well, I need Matt to... We need him to air his grievances.
Please, yes.
I've got a...
Hear ye.
I've got mixed feelings about this, and it could be at concerts or sporting events. When do you guys feel it is appropriate to stand up from your seat and have other people in your row stand up so you can leave or return to your seat? Is it any time? Is it maybe after an at-bat at a baseball game or once the inning is over? Hockey, I think sometimes the ushers... tell you to wait until there's a stoppage in play. Do you guys have rules for yourself?
I do. I try to be as non-intrusive to others as possible, and it's even caused me to buy season tickets that were on the aisle.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I remember going with my dad, you know, and we would be at the game. He didn't care. If he had to go to the bathroom, he was standing up and getting out. That's a line. And nobody was going to stop him, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So when I got my season tickets, I'm like, we're going to have an aisle seat so my dad won't disrupt people.
Yeah.
But in concerts specifically, you must wait to leave or to come in at the end of a song.
I agree
you
with that.
Cannot interrupt in the middle of a song.
Right.
That's where I have the most strident feelings about it over any of the sporting events, because you can look around the guy at the Blues game or the you know the baseball game.
It only takes a quick second, but there's a chance you might miss something at a baseball game or a hockey game. So I'm kind of glad the ushers at the Blues games and hockey games across the country, I'm sure they tell you, you know, hey,
they hold you back.
Yeah, they hold you back or wait till a whistle to get you seated.
Right.
And I saw a tweet online. There's a sign at Marlins game saying, please let this at-bat finish before returning to your seat.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Now, Amy, do you suffer from, this is not a problem for Matt and I, but usually when I hang out with my friends who are a little shorter than me, they're the ones who sit, and something that never comes through my mind, oh yeah, I've got the tallest guy in the world sitting in front of me. Now I can't see anything.
That's a good point. So I think, one, I'm used to it, right? I've never experienced anything different. So if you are used to an unobstructed view, if you're used to an unobstructed view all the time, the minute you have some type of obstruction, you're going to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm always used to some kind of obstruction, I really don't notice it unless I can't get around it. For instance, at a baseball game, a lot of times I will, if it's like, you know, men in front of me who are like, you know, kids you can see over, but if it's men, I'm just used to leaning to one side so I can see in between them.
Really?
And that I'm used to. The times when I notice it the most are concerts where you're standing.
Yeah.
Because then sometimes I feel like you're just kind of
watching the screen.
Yeah, you're watching the screen because there may be a moment for you to look between the two people in front of you, but there's inevitably someone right there because you're all jammed in like sardines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think standing concerts is when I notice it the most, where I could be completely obstructed.
See that, Matt? We got height privilege, you and
I.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for you, Kelly. You and I are both over 6 feet tall. When you're in the front row, for a quick second, I feel bad, like, oh, there's probably people behind me. I look around, there are people, like, you know, short people behind me. But then I think, why should I feel bad? I can't help this. Like,
right.
I'm not going to not be in the front row to see my favorite band or whatever because of my height. Like, it's beyond my control. I'm here. I got the spot. Sorry, I'm not going to give it up.
Yeah.
I know it sucks for the people behind me, but what, I'm supposed to go to the back row now because I'm over 6 feet tall?
Well, honestly, I've never been a big timer like you and been in the front row of a concert.
Well,
so I don't know what that experience is like, but I do know about being in a
concert.
Usually
in the sphere.
I do understand what you mean. I do understand what you mean about, though, standing up, because at a concert, sometimes people don't stand up and stuff, and then I'm always looking over because I'm so big. I'm the person they're going to throw things at.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw it at Amy unless I put her on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Then they'll throw something at her, but they're not going to throw it at her.
I'm so aware of I'm obstructing somebody. So the worst is the people sitting down when I'm standing up.
Man,
I know.
A bug?
A bug. Yeah. The toddler behind me. Listen, buddy, it's not my fault. Grow up. But I, like when you're at a hockey game or a concert, I guess it's usually a concert, and maybe the people in front of you and the people in front of them are standing up, but the people behind you are sitting down. What do you do?
Sorry, it's a cascade.
Yeah.
If the people in front of you are standing up, you have the right to stand up. And if that means, and it feels really uncomfortable at a concert where maybe there are older people who are sitting behind you and you're just like, I'm sorry, what am I to do?
What am I supposed
to
do?
I've got butts in my face too.
Right.
Which is what happens if you're sitting and everybody else is standing.
It does.
Yeah.
So my baseball rule, Matt, about like your own personal rules, mine is you leave at the end of a half inning, you return at the end of an at-bat. I never leave in the middle of an at-bat.
Right. No, so you wait until the end of an
inning.
You know what? That's a good point. But you can wait once if somebody's done batting, you can go down and get
your seat. Yeah.
I'll do you one more. If it's, say the Cardinals are playing the Cubs, there's Cardinals fans behind you and the Cubs are batting, I feel like the Cardinals fans behind me probably care less about the Cubs batting. You know, like I'm more willing to get up when the opponent is batting than when the home team is batting.
Do you do it when you mean batting? Do you mean in between batters, or do you mean actually like even while someone's in the
I'll wait till an at bat. When I'll wait till an at bat is over.
Yeah,
but I'm more willing to get up when my team is not.
Yeah. In fact, I remember being at the Dodger game with you, and you were like, when Shohei came up, you're like, I'm going to take a – no, I've got to go to the bathroom.
I wouldn't miss Shohei for anything.
That's the worst. Though I do feel like for a while that I'd have the worst timing when I would get up during a Blues game, because at least with the Cardinals or with a baseball game, if you get up when the other team's batting, you know you're not going to miss your home run.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I swear for a while, every time I went to the bathroom, the Blues would score. You hear the horn, the fog horn. You're like, ah!
You know when I was most scared as a child was when we would leave Cardinal games after a Cardinal victory when I was a little guy. I'm talking about when everybody else is waist height. And there was, this is probably before both of your time, when we had the old stadium and there was that walkway coming out. And you're like a bunch of cattle, but you're a little kid. So you're with large human beings, and your face is down next to everybody, and you're jammed together.
Yeah, it's creepy. It
scared me. So, I hated it when I was a kid. I was like, can we leave earlier? Can we stay little till everybody else goes?
I felt that in the old arena. Remember, because the concourse was a ramp.
Uh-huh.
I was so young, and I didn't go there a lot, but I just remember the ramp getting really crowded as you walked around to your seats.
Especially at a Blues game. They were rowdy back there at the old arena.
Oh, they would have fights in the parking lot. Speaking of that, we have a 314. Mention that several people in my section at Enterprise Center yell, wait for a whistle, when someone gets up during play at Blues games.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a guy close to my section that, and he does it every time, and I always think, I want to do this when it comes to the end of a period. Like, you know, there'll be 1 minute and 2 seconds. He'll yell, hey, announcer, how much time's left?
Oh, my gosh, yes,
and then what's his name will say, there's 1 minute remaining in the period. Yes. And I was like, I wanted to remember to do that, and I never do.
No, don't be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy.
I think he's still around because he must be 100 years old, because I remember that when I was younger. And I know I heard that as a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Hey, because, well, it happens three times a game.
Do you guys know the honk, honk, honk guy at the Blues games?
The one that throws the towel?
No, there's a guy, a season ticket holder.
Let's go, Blues.
But he says honk, honk, honk.
Okay.
He doesn't have a horn.
Oh, he just says honk,
he says honk,
honk, and everybody responds?
Well, some of the people around him, but it's a little too much, where if I had season tickets by the honk, honk, honk guy, I think I would get a little fatigued.
Yeah, you'd be giving him a conk, 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 conk.
I'd be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
real quick, I got to share with you guys. When I was younger and I'd go to games or even concerts with my dad, he'd always make us leave like a few minutes early. They'd beat the traffic and beat the, you know, massive people. So we're at a Blues game. We're leaving, you know, 2 or 3 minutes left in the final period. And we're like, we're in the car and listening to the game on the radio now, because that's how early we left. And we're missing some huge fight. And I'm so angry at my dad. And I just hear, I think Chris Kramer yelling, Barrett Jackman's beating the crap out of this guy. And like, I'm missing this huge end of game brawl, because I'm hearing it on the radio. I'm not at the game anymore. I'm just looking at my dad like,
well done there, big guy.
Can't believe we left and missed all of this.
And then did he say to you like Clark Griswold does, but Matt will be home before everybody else. Remember when they go to Wally World and he parks in vacation, they park in the very back. So we'd be able to leave first.
Well, I will say, why were we just talking about this? I can't remember, but I think a lot of people changed their methodology of leaving early or not leaving early after the game 6 Freeze, the comeback, we'll see you tomorrow night. I think that rocked a lot of people's worlds and their theories of leaving early.
But why would you ever leave a playoff or
a World
Series
game?
Can't leave. You're so privileged to be there.
Yeah.
That leaving early kind of shows that you're kind of a tool.
I went to a World Series game with my friend, and we were at the top of the parking garage, the couple's garage.
Hey, now.
That one. And we made a bet like it was like an over under of 45 minutes of getting out of the garage. And I want to say it was 49 minutes us to get out of that garage. Yeah. But it was worth it. It's the World Series.
Was that a victorious game? Because everybody just honks their horns then. And that's annoying when you're in a parking garage for 45 minutes.
That's a great question. It was game five. Did we win or lose game five? And the reason why I don't remember. Because I don't.
You were drunk.
But it's because I was wasted. I was absolutely plastered. No, it was because I don't care. Because I had tickets. I had tickets to game six and I gave them up because I was at a hockey game with this collegiate team and I thought I was doing the right thing.
You didn't even get to play, did you?
I didn't even play and it was the worst night of my life and I wish I had done the wrong thing, which is be selfish and go to game six. But instead I went to game five, so I don't even care if we won or lost.
Yeah.
I was so sad. I had those tickets. I had the David Freese game six tickets in my hand.
Oh, Amy. Miserable.
Well, Michael also woke up upset the other day. Oh. And we're going to, are you going to tell the people why when
my
we come
dream?
Back? Yeah.
Yes. It was miserable.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Also, I just totally accidentally lied. When I said the worst day of my life was when I gave up tickets to game six.
Yeah.
I said that it was in 2006. Uh-huh. This wasn't the David Freese game in 2011. I gave up when Wainwright was the closer.
Oh, man.
That's the game. It was the World Series clinching game. That's what I was talking about. And I don't know why I went to all of a sudden I was talking about game six and David Freese. You would think, how could you possibly mix those up? I don't know. But it was 2006 because we had a texter remind us game five before David Freese was in Texas.
Mm.
I gave up game six in 2006 when Waino was the closer, and I will never forgive myself.
So you probably, going forward, should just not accept tickets and immediately say these are more worthy with someone else who would actually make it a priority to be there.
I was trying to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
And even my coach goes, oh, I would have skipped the team and gone to the game.
Well, and then your coach doesn't play you?
Didn't play me.
Yeah.
And I cried. I cried a lot.
Well, anyway. I know something that'll make you happy.
Sure.
Sunday morning, you wake up, flip on the television right there in bed, 8:30, Channel 2.
Yes.
Hancock and Kelly, the television show.
Yes.
You can actually have a conversation with me while you lay in bed and I sit on the set at Channel 2.
There you go.
And watch the program. So, Hancock and Kelly, 8:30.
Oh, if people aren't, I have it on a
DVR.
Yes, YouTube. I don't, so even if I miss it at 8:30, I go back and watch it later.
And, Amy, on Monday, I'm going to come in here with my good friend John Hancock, and we are going to goof around from 9 to noon while you and Chris recover from your drunken bender on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And Hancock and I will be here to entertain you on your Labor Day.
Well, I appreciate it. That is true for one of us, the drunken bender. I guess he'll still be in Chicago.
When's he come home? Tuesday?
I don't know.
He's got to be on the radio Tuesday. They haven't asked me to do it.
Yeah, allegedly he's back by Tuesday.
I don't know. I was a defender of Bruce Springsteen. I may not make it back after Brad Young apparently just gutting the guy.
Wait a minute. The texter said there was no game six. What game did I got the series clinching game in 2006.
I think you ought to just drop the story from your repertoire.
Well, I know. Did they win in five? In 2006? I don't remember. Guys, whatever it is, if I'm...
It was when Waino won.
It was when Waino won. And you know what? It was a long time ago, and I cried a lot, and I'm upset about it because I had that game, and if I'm just lying on the air, I need to stop talking.
And if you're this nuanced on the points...
Well... It's a pretty big point.
Come help me look at my taxes and see if we can find some ways to save some dollars. Because all went right past me.
I just want to say this. Every time I say I'd never want to stand trial because my memories get all jumbled and I feel guilty and I would convict myself somehow. These people who texted in about game five and game six. Now I said David Freese and I said, why did you say that? It wasn't David Freese. This is why I will inevitably go to jail.
Yeah.
Thank you to our texters. And it was game five. Game six, the famous game six, was David Freese in 2011. The clinching game was game five in 2006.
Let me ask you this. Yes. Do you think this real-time feedback from the listeners is helpful for your mental health and sanity?
No. I'm going to question everything because we didn't even get to why you're sad. You had a dream you won the lottery.
And I was buying everybody. I was paying off everybody I knew's house. And I woke up and I was mad because I didn't get to the part where I actually got to see people. You know, I wanted to keep sleeping. And then I was angry.
Well, now I'm leaving this show just upset.
Hey, now.
Upset. But
always
thank
love
you.
Being with you.
I love being with you, Michael.
I hope you have a good weekend.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to hear Ranji's review of Oasis on Monday.
Tuesday. If he remembers it. Hey, but listen to John and Michael on Monday, Labor Day. They'll be live, local radio. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.